That's true. All right, so I just kind of wait till Kevin hits the button on air, and then we start. This has been kind of unique and different and interesting. Yeah. I wish more people had, you know, the radio's great for Sunday, but I wish more people had email so that they could be getting my things. Kevin's been trying to put stuff on Facebook if you don't have email, but not everybody has that either. So we're doing the best we can with what we have. How old are you now, Bo? I was going to say you're coming up on your birthday pretty soon, aren't you?
2 in August.
2 in August. Yeah. How about 4? Okay. 40, yeah, exactly. It may feel like 14 for mom. Okay. Okay, almost on the air, so here we go. Good morning. This is First United Methodist Church. Not yet. Good morning from First United Methodist Church in Sandusky. This is Reverend Sue Platt, and we are live on the air with just a couple people here in our congregation to help put worship together. This morning, we want to start off with a prayer concern. I got notice from Vera this morning. Her sister passed away yesterday, Jeannie, and we want to keep their family in our prayers. Of course, of all the churches and the community with the coronavirus, we want to continue to pray for. We have an announcement that we are trying to work with the Conference of the United Methodist Church to get PayPal here. We will let you know when we do get that. In the meantime, we're still asking that you send your offerings or bring them to the church, but call the church before you come because we're not always in every day, all morning. The other announcements we have is Finance and Church Council will be trying to meet by Zoom meeting on Tuesday. So if you have questions on that, please call me. They continue to not have any other meetings, no Bible study. There will not be a garage sale this next week. Continue, if you're in the disciple class, to continue to keep reading your material. And today is Umcore Sunday. We will probably, as we get back together in person at some point, celebrate that day again. But if you want to give an offering for Umcore, we're trying to send that to Tennessee and possibly in our own communities, depending on what goes on. We have several birthdays this month, and so we're going to want to celebrate those. We have Kylie, we have Molly, Kevin, Mary Ball, George, Riley, Russ, Jim, Barb, and Aiden the rest of this month. So we're going to sing happy birthday to those that have had a birthday in this last month and a birthday or the last week and coming up to the end of the month. And Tina is here today to help us with that. Let us sing. Pray for many more. Also, this last week for anniversary, Al and Tammy had an anniversary. We wish them well. So I am going to light our candles this morning, and then we will sing a praise song.
Maybe. So we bring in the light of Christ. We remember that Christ is with us wherever we are. We do not need to fear. Let us stand and sing, "Open the eyes of my heart. This is by mercy me." Right. Our call to worship this morning is in your bulletin for those few of you that are here and some of you that we have sent in. We come together to worship the God of love. We come to hear his message of love. We come to thank him for his great gift of love. We come to reflect on the awesome power of his love. Let us worship him. Let us pray. Lord, we do pray that you will open our eyes, open our heart and our mind, our soul, that we can hear you, that we can feel your presence, that we can praise your name and worship you And in this hour, may we give you all the glory and honor. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our next song is Be Thou My Vision, and it's by For Him. It's a Celtic version. So let us sing Be Thou My Vision. Pray that our God is still in our vision, that we keep him focused. And so now we're going to have children's message, and as we try to stay 6 feet apart still, we're just going to talk to the kids and hope kids are listening on the radio. So, Carter, do you have any questions on what's going on here Do you know what's going on in the world? Is it a little scary at home, or do you feel really safe? I bet you feel really safe with Mom and Dad, don't you? Yeah. Bo and Carter are here with Mom and Dad. And in what? You got a dog? Baxter is your dog. I bet there's some other listeners that have. Really, Bo? Bo's getting so big. Yes, you are, aren't you?
And your dad shot a deer.
Oh, Dad went deer hunting. Okay. As long as he didn't shoot any of the deer that are in my backyard, we're good. So what are you doing these days, Carter? Playing? Yep. Are you playing at daycare? You going to Aunt Erin's, or are you staying home? A little bit of both? He's got his, what do you call those?
Yo-yos.
Yo-yos, yes. I used to play with those. You like to do your yo-yo? Yeah. Well, we know that today is Riley's birthday. Are you going to see her today? Yeah. Yeah. Riley's birthday is today, isn't it? Yeah. So happy birthday, Riley. And the children that are listening, we will be delivering packets this week. We'll have the children's bulletin, and Rosemary has put the packets together with gloves. We're trying to take all precautions, so we will get those delivered this week, and hope that you enjoy your treats from the church as we miss you here and hope that you will be here. So, Carter, do you think you could pray with me? Can you repeat after me? I bet Mom can help you. Say, can we put our hands together to pray? Can you put, we'll do that. Say, Dear God, please help me continue to feel safe and to love others. Amen. Good job, Carter and Bo. Glad that you're here. Absolutely. This morning, we're going to bring our Old Testament reading from 1 Samuel. We don't always do a Samuel reading, but I want you to hear these words. It's found in chapter 16, verse 1 to 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him, and they asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse said to Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass by before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." And Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. And then the Lord said to him, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And Samuel then went to Ramah. May God add his blessing to the reading of this word. This morning, Tina is going to play a special on the piano for us. So Tina, thank you for coming in, and we welcome your music. Now time for us to continue to pray. During our worship service this week, we are remembering the over-the-edge photography as we pray for businesses in town. Also praying for Vera and her family, for those that have had to postpone surgery because of the coronavirus, those with the coronavirus, and those that are very frightful of this virus that is going on. We pray that you will find comfort and peace with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, today we come again to worship you and to honor you in a time when life seems strange. It's different, not gathering together in your home, but hearing over the radio your word, your message. Lord, we ask that you help us to find a vaccine for this coronavirus. We know that it may take time, and we pray that that will be able to be quickly done. We pray for those that are ill, those that have gotten the coronavirus, and we pray for those that have passed from us, that have gone to heaven to be with you, and we pray that you will bring peace and comfort into the lives of their families. Lord, as we have this difficult trial period in our life, we know and we believe that this will end and that life will get back to a different time. But we pray that you be with us, be with our businesses in town that are suffering, those that can't work, the amount of money that is being lost because of the virus. We ask, Lord, that you help provide as you always do. Help us as a church to be able to reach out where we can and help those who are in need. We pray that you will continue to fill our world with your Holy Spirit. Fill us in this church and in this community throughout our state, as well as the world, that we can come together helping one another as your great commandments tell us to love you and to love our neighbors. May we do this to be your disciples of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you gave us your Son to die on the cross for our sins and to give us hope for eternal life and hope in the world. And it is through him that we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now we're going to sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. This is a YouTube by Hillsong Worship. Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Amen. So what we need to do during this time is to turn to God. And now we're going to turn to our gospel reading found in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 1 to 41. It's a little longer reading. Hear these words. As Jesus went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciple asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "This happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. And he replied, "The man called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes, and he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Well, where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now on the day which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man said, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others ask, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." And the man replied, "He's a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But now he can see, but how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." And he replied, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." And the man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were from God, he could do nothing. If he was not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. But Jesus heard that he had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment, I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him, heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord. And now may there be less and less of me and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. So my title is, Are Our Eyes Able to See? This man was born blind. And I think it's kind of ironic that we see that Jesus spits in the ground into the dust of the earth, makes it mud, and puts it on this man's eyes and tells him to go and wash it off. As I looked at commentaries this week, it reminded us that that is how most of us were made, is from the dust of the earth. That God, who knows, it doesn't say in the creation story that God spit into the dirt and made us, but from the dust of the earth we were formed. And from the dust and the mud by Christ's saliva, he has made this man's eyes to see. And once he sees, he says first that he is a prophet that has healed him, has cured him, has given him his sight. And then later on understands that Jesus is the risen Christ, that he is the Christ, the one who healed him. And he says, I believe. I believe. And I thought about this, and as I read commentaries during the week on this, it was talking about how much in that social culture time, the people, first of all, some didn't even recognize him. Others did. Is this the man that was born blind and now he can see? Did they help him across the street? Was he just sitting by the pool wanting to get in and no one would help him? However the case may be, in that day, in that culture, in that time, people were going by this man and they saw him. And they saw he was blind. And as we heard in the text, he even begged. I'm sure begging to help him. Help me into the pool so I can be cleansed. Help me in. Help me walk. Help me do the things that he needed to do because he was blind. And yet people then, after his blindness was gone, didn't even recognize him. Yet some did, and the scripture tells us they were divided. And then it goes on to his parents, and it says about his parents, is this your son that was born blind? And who healed him? And they don't want to even say, they do say, this is my son, but they don't know who healed him, but they don't want to say that it's Christ that healed him because they didn't want to get thrown out of the synagogue. They themselves were already almost turning their back on their own son, many rejecting the person this blind man was. Why? Because he was blind and now sees? And then I thought about us in our world today, in our culture. How many of us think we truly believe and we know and we understand? And how many of us are still blind to the Word of God and don't trust God, don't turn to God, don't seek God, don't do our devotions, yet we have our sight? And as I thought about that, I was thinking, maybe we don't all have our sight. We may be able to see each other. We may be able to read signs. We may be able to watch TV. We may be able to see things. But are we blind spiritually? Because that's where Jesus goes, is from questioning the blind man and the Pharisees questioning, and then it's about spiritual blindness. Are you and I blind? Do we need to have God open our eyes and our hearts so that we hear him, that we trust him? And in this difficult time, are we turning our eyes to Jesus Christ, who is the one that will provide for us, that can give us the hope, that can give us the encouragement that we need during this time? Are we seeking him out? Or are we being spiritually blind and say, you know, I'm going to get the coronavirus, or I'm going to do what I need. I'm going to rush to the store and buy everything I can and hoard it all. And for those of you that are doing this, even the news said stop. Because all of us need the same things. Go and do your normal shopping and go home. Or just stay home. Eat out of your cupboards. You know, when I preach these words, I'm also preaching mainly to myself, not only to you, that I hear what God is telling me as I share the message with you. Are we spiritually blind? That's why I'm trying to send devotions out for those of you that have emails. I'm praying that you are checking your emails as I bring a daily update of encouraging words or words that Christ has given to me, scriptural words. And if you need an upper room or a devotional book or a Lent devotional book, let me know and we will deliver it to you. I have people that are in the congregation that will help with people in need. So if you need groceries and we don't want our elderly to go to the grocery store or those that are compromised, we can have somebody else do that for you and drop it at your door, staying within the social distancing that we need. But we can drop it off at your door. How many of us are truly relying on Christ in this time of need? Or are we just being in a panic and scared that this is going to come to all of us here in Sanilac County, and how many of us will die? You know, listen to the media, and I know we need to listen to our governor. We need to listen to our president. We need to make sure that we aren't just not paying attention, that our eyes are truly seeing what is happening in this world, and that we can take this opportunity to be able to help others as we continue, but also to remain in social distancing, but to pray for them. Call them on the phone to let them know that we still care. Send cards. Been sending cards to the nursing home and those that are homebound. And we'll continue to work through our directory list to make sure that people are contacted and known that we love them, that God loves them, that God is providing for them. But also to be wise and healthy and staying healthy and staying within the bounds of what we are to do. But God is the one who causes the judgment, not us. Why? We can't judge China. We can't judge our president. We can't judge our governor. We can't judge our community health services. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for one another who is helping us through this time of crisis. But we need to remember that God is in control. And I can't help but wonder, is God trying to get our attention? Are we, as the United States, so spiritually blind that God is trying to get our attention to say, wake up and turn your eyes to me? I can't help but wonder that. None of us know when that end time is going to come. It could be tomorrow. It could be today. It could be 1,000 years from now. But we need to trust our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to, because we know who had this man see again, even though he was born blind, Jesus Christ, the healer of our world, healed him. We don't know why God is not healing everyone, why Christ is not having everyone healed through this. I don't understand. And we can't ask the question that was asked here, who sinned? Was it them that sinned that is why they're dying? I don't believe that. It's a virus that's going around and people are catching it because we're not maintaining what the president and governor is asking us to do. Social distancing. Stay so far away. Don't be in contact with people. Be in contact with people by phone. Love them by cards. Sending them by praying. But we also need to remember, as a church and as a community, we're here to support one another, are we not? We're here to love one another and share the good news and give people hope. This doesn't have to be a panic feeling. It's a virus. For those of us that are Christian, and I pray that if you are not a Christian, that you will want to talk to one of your pastors or a pastor. Come and give me a call at the church. I will return a message. We're checking the machine every day. We're getting mail. Because we want every single person in our community, in our world, to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We want them to know that Jesus is the healer, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we pray that our eyes can be open to reaching others and to helping them. Do we understand that we can trust Jesus Christ in this time? Do we understand that we need to turn to Him, that He needs to open our eyes and our hearts? See, when He anointed David, if we go back to the Old Testament, He anointed David not by appearance, but by His heart. Jesus knows each one of our hearts. Is our heart in the right place? Are we seeking God during this crisis time? Are we loving Him? Are we doing our daily devotions? Are we in our scriptures? And if we say no to that, I hope we change. And if we say yes to that, hallelujah, praise you, praise God. I hope we continue to do that. Sometimes I believe I could even be spiritually blind. Do we look at others by their appearance and not by their heart? Because I don't know their heart. Am I looking at someone and saying, oh, you're not like me? Well, you know, then I don't care. I hope not. I hope I can be open enough to have the eyes of Jesus Christ. I hope all of us can have the eyes of Jesus Christ. And that our hearts will be made as one body in this time together. That we can come together like we did after 9/11. 9/11 was a time where churches pulled together, but they could be in the pews. This is really hard when we can't get together and be in the pews. We can't hug one another. We can't have somebody cry on our shoulders. But we can listen to them by phone. We can talk through computers. Isn't that amazing? We can talk over the radio. We have great opportunities to be able to share the word of Christ here in Sandusky, in Sanilac County. And I thank God that we have these opportunities. We have not heard from our bishop yet that this is going to go longer as far as a shutdown in the church. But we are believing at this point, and probably guessing, that it's going to go longer than through the end of March. So we pray that you will continue to listen, will continue to do the radio station. I pray that you will continue to be in prayer. But I pray that our eyes are open. We're not being thrown out of the church. It's just a time that we're not able to gather at the church. But it is our spiritual blindness keeping us from trusting God at this point, to not being in fear, to being in calm, and a calming presence, a non-anxious presence to our families, to our children. We want our children to know that God is with them, their parents are with them, their pastor is with them, their community is with them, and they are loved. All of you are loved by God. We need to work together that we will get through this. But the hope that Jesus Christ gives us is that we will have eternal life. We will have hope in Him as we stay connected to Him, as we join Him, as we are in communication with Him, as we love Him, as we accept Him. He is with us everywhere we go, in every moment. We do not need to be afraid. Are our eyes able to see? I pray that our answer is yes. Let us pray. Lord God, maybe many of us are blind and don't even recognize it. Pray that you will open our hearts and minds that we can hear you, that we can feel your presence wrapping us in your arms, holding us in the palm of your hands, and help us to trust you, to lean on you during this difficult time, and to know that everything is going to be okay. This too shall pass. And we thank you for all that you're doing for us. And may we honor you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. This morning there is just 7 of us here this morning. If you have offering, the offering plate is down on the altar here, so you can drop it in so that we're not touching and we're staying social distance. And I think Tina's going to play a few notes for us, and then we'll do the doxology. Thank you, Tina. We'll stand. Give you these gifts. We ask that you use them and bless them for this church, for the community, and for the world, that others may know your name. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our closing song is Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. This is one by Charles Wesley, and it's on YouTube, but we don't have a name. We'll bring it up. So now as you go forth from here, go with peace that passes all understanding. Know that God is with you, and make sure that your eyes are open and your hearts are open to hearing what God is telling you. Go now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.